A guten Motze. I just don't remember if we did this, but you'll let me know. What's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But the memory with the kids. Okay, let's start. You'll let me know. Almost switch. Here comes a shift. I know. Okay, so do any of you have any young siblings or kids?
Kids.
Oh, my hands are up. Yeah. Not that you know of yet. Okay.
Ellie Jaffa.
Do any of you have any young siblings? Young. How young? What's the youngest?
15.
Two?
About a week and a half.
What?
Kid or your sibling?
So, perhaps you've noticed in the past, you'll notice the fact that kids have quite good memories. Has anyone ever seen that with kids before? Yes or no? I don't know, I really don't know. You guys are in an interesting stage. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that? Kids have amazing, amazing memories. And they might not exactly have the concept of what is time, but they understand. But their memories, like my kid, my three-year-old will know anything that happened before today is called yesterday. But he'll remember. So I was like, remember yesterday when we were in Canada? I was like, that was 6 months ago, right? But they remember the details of it. And yesterday we were on a plane. And yesterday was Shabbos. And yesterday was Sunday. And yesterday was Monday. Everything. But they still remember without understanding. Again, time is a little bit off. And the question is, how is it that they have such good memories? That kids have really amazing memories? Question mark. Begin.
There's less stuff filling their mind to remember.
Left stuff to remember?
There's nothing pushing in their memory. Mm-hmm. It's just thoughts.
That's basically what I said.
Yeah, that's the only thing in their mind. There's nothing else to think about.
The same what I said, just all the
So you gave a great answer. I'm not sure what you were talking about. You gave a great answer. And you as well. See, the answer is that kids, what is it?
They're excited by everything they see.
It's true they're excited, but besides the excitement is the fact that they have absolutely nothing in their brain. Let me say it differently. They've left stuff that's cluttering it. There's nothing there. So since there's nothing there, if I told you remember seven, and that's all you have to remember, seven. If you can't remember that, there's a problem. You understand that? That's all you have to remember. What was it, please?
Seven.
Good. It's always one. But understand that when we say this idea of... is that too much? Okay, understand that you say seven. There's only one thing to remember. You can remember such a thing. So kids have nothing there. And this, my friends, is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, I believe it's found in chapter 4, Mishnah 25. Which is, I think. The Mishnah says that there was a fellow by the name of Elisha ben Avuya. And Elisha ben Avuya says, Halomed yeled, someone who teaches a child, lamau domeh. What is it compared to if you teach a child? Lidiyo, like fresh ink, which is written on niar chadash, on a brand new piece of paper, a blank piece of paper. So if you had a blank piece of paper and you write something on it, you see it clear. It's very clear. But alomed zaken, if you teach someone who's older, what exactly that means, you have to figure out. Don't know exactly the age. But you teach someone who's old, lamau dama ledio ksuval nir machuk. It's like writing on a piece of paper that was already erased, very erased. That's why they're like, oh, where did I put my keys? No three-year-old's like, where did I put my keys? And if they're saying that, that's a problem. He's there, they're driving. But how did they go? Where's that? There's nothing else there. So therefore, they remember everything. Which means what, my friends? Which means he's got to be unbelievably super duper careful what you put in that brain. You got to be very, very careful what you put in that brain. Now, some of you may be wondering or will be wondering when I bring up the part you should be wondering. Yes, now I'm wondering about why it is I'm talking about kids. And then I'm going to go a little further into the idea of parenting, that you're saying, well, again, for most of you, one of you we spoke before, it's everything will be okay, don't worry. But the rest of you who don't have kids, it's like, what shaykhis? You know, what shaykhis? Why my Indian kids ate till Har Sinai? Anyway, so that's a shivulish joke. Right, so what shaykhis? Why am I talking about children? So the answer is that there is no shaykhis. It's just that what I opened up to the notes. But if you want to go a little further, the shaykhis is understanding that Mesorah, the whole idea of Shavuos, the whole idea of Matan Torah, the whole idea that we know anything about Yiddishkeit is because of Mesorah. Everything comes from the tradition that's been passed down from father to son, parent to child, ad yom hazeh, and needs to be strengthened and pushed. And on that note, I wanted to be able to talk about this idea. It's a very well-known story about a father who brought his three-year-old son to his Rebbe, and he said to him, he says, Rebbe, my son's 3 years old, I want to know when should I start being mechanech him? And the Rebbe said, you're 20 years too late. You always need a good depressing story. So he goes, what do you mean? And what's the answer, my friends? You see, right now, whether you realize it or not, right this moment, you are raising your children. Right this moment, you're raising your children. If I speak to you, you're already married with kids, it's already a little bit late. So you mess up the first few, but after, that's why we have so many kids, you know what I'm saying? But you mess up the first few, and afterwards you can maybe crack that. Anyway. Point is that now is the opportunity to be able to start working on it. Right now, you are raising your kids, and as a matter of fact, right now, you're also building your house. You're building your home. What's your home going to look like? What's it going to be like with your spouse? What's it going to be like with your family? You are right now deciding that. What do I mean when I say you're right now deciding that? So the kid doesn't learn, just like you know yourselves, we don't learn by what somebody tells us. Rather, you learn by actual real-life experience. So that's why we always find, you ever meet someone and then you meet their parents? And then you go, oh, now I get it, right? Because what happens is, and we all say, I will never be like my father. Okay, don't look in the mirror, but you are, right? That's just a reality, whether you like it or not. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I hate him. He hates you too, but you do look alike, yeah? And you can't deny the fact that you have certain nuances that are going to just fall into place. When you live with someone for so long, you become like them. That's just a reality, whether you like it or not, right? You could fight it, but it is what it is. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. Anyone from Atlanta, by any chance? Anyone from the South? No? Okay. I was in Atlanta, Georgia one Shabbos. It was actually a little bit more south in a place called Petrie City in Georgia. I was there for Shabbaton. Now, I was the only one there that was not from, well, maybe some weren't, but I was not from that place. Everyone else lived there. I was there for the Shabbaton. They brought me to speak on the Shabbaton. And they went around the room on Friday night. Although many people knew each other, most did not. Not everybody did. So they decided to go around and just introduce yourself. Say your name, where you're from, etc. Now for some reason, did we talk about this topic? Some reason, every time a man versus a woman, when you tell a woman to say what your name is and where you're from, what they do is they say their name and where they're from. When you say a man to say where they're from, for some reason they feel this necessity to throw in their favorite sports team, right? So whatever the sports they like. So basically the guy's like, yo, I'm from Atlanta. Go Gators! Go Gators! Like, dude, what does it... First of all, it's not Atlanta, it's Florida, right? And second of all, why are you talking about that? Like, what does it do with anything? Okay, but that's what they do, right? And it just goes up. So this happened. They go around the room, and they ask... So the woman gets up.
My name is Stacy.
What sounds a little strange, but anyway.
My name is Stacy. Okay.
And, 2017. Anyway, so he goes, my name is Stacy, and I'm from New York. You know, and I was like, And then I was like, yo, my name is Dave. Knicks. Yeah. It was like, dude. You know. So then this one guy gets up and he goes, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. My name, I don't remember his name. His name, my name is Steve. You know, whatever. My name is Steve, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Go Gators. Right? And then. A minute later, his little kid gets up. His five-year-old kid, it looks like four or five years old, gets up and goes, my name is Petey, you know, and I'm from Atlanta. Go Gators! Go Gators! Right? Like, literally, maybe it was Bulldogs. I don't know, but they did the same thing, right? So when everyone was quiet, when they, you know, started the thing, I said to the kid, I was like, psst, kid, hey, kid. So he looks, he's like, what? I was like, kid, you want a candy? Oh gosh, wrong story. This happens to me every time. I'm so sorry. I said, yo, kid. He goes, yeah, what is it? I said, kid. I said, you like the Gators? It was the Bulldogs. I remember. I'm like, you like his father like the Bulldogs, like the Bulldogs. I'm like, kid, you like the Bulldogs? He goes, yeah, I love the Bulldogs. I'm like, kid, why do you love the Bulldogs? He goes, because my dad loves the Bulldogs. And I love my dad. I said, what about your mom? He goes, okay, but his daddy loves. Now, what happens is that you go, basically follow in line with that which you're raised with, right? It's not the way in which your parents told you to live that you live. It's the way in which they lived that you live. Right? I remember watching, it was like a week ago, I don't know what I'd say. I remember watching, you know, but okay, I was standing in a store here in Israel, a paper goods store in, what's that called, the place? Givat Shaul. You know the neighbor Givat Shaul? Yes? Givat Shaul? Givat Shaul. Yes, so there's a paper goods store there called Shigaon Shel Shulchan, which means the crazy table. And I am plugging it into my aunt's store. Anyway, so I was there. And as I'm standing there, this woman walks in. I wasn't looking, but I was. And this woman walks in, and she walks in like this, you know, like. Yeah. 10 seconds later, someone else walks in, who looked maybe a little younger, who walks in like this. I said, you guys related? And they said, they both went like, how did you know? I was like, I don't know, it's just like a lucky guess. And I'm not really sure, you know? We mimic. It's amazing to watch. Watch fathers and sons next to each other. They literally mimic. It's scary, actually. It's frightening. But that's what happens. So we go out and we live a certain way. The old story about a guy who came to his Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, what do I do? He said, what is it? He goes, my son, I really think he's a genius. He's very, very advanced. And I think maybe I should start putting tefillin on him. So he goes, how old is he? He goes, he's two. He goes, tefillin and he's two? He goes, why would you think that? He goes, because every time he has like a rope or some like string like tefillin type thing, he just right away just goes like this. And he tries to do that and he does like that. And the Rebbe said, I have a better idea. Why don't you start davening with a minion in shul? Right? The kid is just mimicking what they're seeing. And that's what happens. Kids are excited to mimic. They're excited to learn from everything. It's like my son, when he turned 3 years old, he's like, I'm so excited. Like, I have payas just like Tati. You know, I have tzitzis like Tati. He's like, I smoke behind the house just like Tati. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay? Who said you could have payas? Anyway, but what does that mean? I'm totally kidding. I don't smoke behind the house. I smoke in the house. But what does that mean? They see things, right? They see things. And you know what the funniest thing is when you give this talk to adults and like, no, my kids don't, you know, and I don't really know what's going on. I don't know why I do that, but they, you know, they do everything. My kids don't really know what's going on. My kids, you know, they don't know. Are you foolish? Right? All you need to know if your kids know what's going on, did you know what your parents were doing? He said, of course. It's like all of you know exactly. Isn't it great when your parents call you, we have to talk about something? And you're like, what is it, the financial issue? How did you know about that? Because I'm the one causing it, right? But you go and you see like what happens. We all know what's happening and we learn from our parents and we learn from them. Halomid yelid lamahu dome, teaching a child, what is it compared to? It's like a blank, fresh piece of paper. And my friends, we as the parents are the authors of their entire life. You think how scary that is? How powerful you are and how much your parents messed you up? It's amazing how you will now have the ability to pass on that tradition. We have the ability to, we go ahead and we are writing the book of our kids' lives. And what are you going to write over there? And isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's a little ironic. I really do think that the author of the Mishnah of teaching a child is whom? What do we say? I think we said it about a minute ago. No, who is the author of the Mishnah?
Not the author.
No, he's the compiler.
Who's the author of the Mishnah? Lo Midyan Lo Ha'udome.
Say it. Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya is the author of that Mishnah. And my friends, let me ask you a question. I just want to make sure I got it right, the right one. I think it's 425. It's 420? There's no video here, right? All right. 425. Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Could you get me a chagiga? Right there, chagiga. It's a Gemara. It'll be in there. Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Alomi yelam audoma lidyok suvenir chodesh. Alomi zakalam audoma lidyok suvenir mochok. Right? So we come, we take a look, and we say the Gemara, but not the Mishnah. So it comes and it says, who's the author? Elisha ben Avuya. And who is Elisha? It's in a whole series of Gemaras. Right? Yeah, so who's it? Oh, who said it? Oh, Hashem. Oh. I don't like it. The point is, I feel like. Acher. Says the Gemara that Acher was, Elisha ben Avuya was called Acher. Why was he called Acher? Well, you didn't got to get so detailed there, what I'm saying. But that's accurate, right? The reason why is because Elisha ben Avuya went off the D. Went off the D, O-T-D. We're not talking about W-T-O with time out. We're talking about he went totally off the... Anyway, so I'm just kidding. Okay. So the Gemara Chagiga, there's a number of Gemaras that explain what happened, right? There's some famous ones. Many know the Gemara Kiddushin, about Shiloh HaKen, and the Gemaras that talk about Arba Nichnes Lepardes. But the Gemara over here says that what happened to Elisha ben Avuya, otherwise known as Acher, the other guy? What caused him to go off? Another reason. What is it? I don't know the music thing. I like the music. It sounds good, but I don't know the music thing. The Gemara here that I'm looking at, Chagiga on Tesvav, says that's the other Gemara. That's the other one. It says that when Elisha ben Avuya would stand up from his learning, Sifrei Minin would fall off his lap. Heretical books. Books of heresy. Books of... None of us really know what heresy is, right? But meaning idolatry, stuff which are antithetical, the opposite of Yiddishkeit, would fall off his lap. The one who writes the Mishnah about be so careful about what you teach a kid when he was a kid and he would be learning, he would like keep inside. Are you sure we didn't talk about this ever? We never spoke about this topic? This will sound familiar. To me, it does. It's like when I was younger than I am. So when I was in elementary school, what we used to do is we'd have like the Gemara, but on the inside of the Gemara, and everyone has their smartphones or whatever. And like to me, that's like messed up because I had guys in my shir that like you're using their smartphone inside. I said, listen, that better be a cell phone, because if you're looking down and smiling, and that's not a cell phone. So anyway, the Gemara says that it may be it's a Tosos. I don't know what you guys are thinking, but so point is that you have like this. This is what we used to do, right? You'd have the Gemara, and inside the Gemara, you'd have like a... inside the Gemara, we would have a, like, you know, I don't know, can I say Archie? Archie's okay to say. Okay, if you said it, like, okay. Whoa,
I don't know.
Okay, fine, so let's say Archie. I was gonna say something else, but let's say, okay. So inside, I'm like Archie Comics. So this is the way it would work, right? You'd have it inside like this. That's what he would do as he was learning. Now, I was by a shul once, and there was a kid that had a machzer, you know, like this. And he had another book inside the machzer. Okay? This is the problem. You know what I'm saying? It was way over. I said, kid, just put down the machzer. You know? He's like, okay. But he would get up in the yesod, in the foundation of his growth, was heresy. He went on to become a Tana, one of the Tanoim. That's huge, my friends. One of the authors of the Mishnah. Top of the top. But he went off the D. How could that happen? The answer is because you could build very tall buildings, but at a certain point, if the foundation is cracked, at a certain point, it's going to fall. It's going to crumble. So the question here we have really, you guys, we're talking about all of us now, but we're stuck in the middle because God willing, you'll be parents in Mitzvah Hashem soon. Amen. And, but you're also your own stories. In other words, your own lives that you went through. In which case, you don't even know half of the things of when you were very young, because it just happened when you were very young and you continued to live. To really be able to pierce the essence of who we are. It's a scary concept of what our troubles are coming from, and I'm going to explain it in a minute. You can become the top of the top. Like the Gemara says, you can still, God forbid, a person can totally fall off the derech. Now understand what kind of lessons and what do we want our children to look like? If you want to know what they're going to look like, you just have to really look at yourself. Because essentially, they're going to mirror you. Or, if you marry the right person, hopefully they'll mirror your wife. If you marry the wrong person, hopefully they'll mirror you. But understand there's going to be a mixture of both. And what's going to happen is, look at how you are now. Understand that right now, you are training your children. Right now. So what does it mean? What kind of level? So I was here in Israel. I got a phone call. It was 10 o'clock in the morning in Israel. And my friend calls me from New York. What time? 3 o'clock in the morning. He calls me up and he asks me the following question. He said, is it yichud to be by Dunkin' Donuts? If anyone's from the Five Towns or Queens, whatever, you might know that in the Five Towns, there is a Dunkin' Donuts on the corner of Rockaway Turnpike and West Broadway. No. Did they tell you it was?
Donuts.
Right, or anything else.
But, coffees?
You mean coffee without milk? Okay. I stand here. Because who's going to Dunkin' Donuts to get Chalav Yisrael milk? You know what I mean? Like, Dunkin' Donuts, I love Dunkin' Donuts. Chalav Yisrael just gets the spot every time. You know what I mean? It's like, go down the block and get Chalav Yisrael for free when they're trying to throw it out. So anyway, so what's the, what's this? So I went recently to check, why did I say that? Because I went recently to check it out, to come on the real deal, to say, I'm going to have a crawler, I'm taking problems, thinking, come on, let's get down and let's get fat, you know? Okay, but it's no good. But it's Chalav Nachri, it's Mamish, it's Afka, it's really... It's powdered, it's reconstituted, so then it's in the constitution, it's mamish, it's a mitzvah. Anyway, so kids, I didn't eat it because I didn't eat it. But he asked me, so that corner over there is a pretty busy corner, and Dunkin' Donuts is open 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
It's open 24 hours. So that parking lot is like, so he calls me up, he's like, is it yichud to be by Dunkin' Donuts now? I said, am I in speaker by any chance? He's like, yeah. Like, you perhaps in a suffolk yichud situation now that someone's in the car listening to me? I said, yeah, is there a problem? I'm like, yeah, it's a problem. I mean, now they're married. They're both actually to different people, but they, no, they're actually married to each other. They are. Whatever, it's a whole... but I go and he says, is it yichud? So I said, I'm not answering. I'll speak to you later. Yeah. I basically spoke to him later. I wrote him an email. I wonder if I still have. Anyway, I wrote him an email and I said, even if it's mutter, my friend, you are in a very shady situation. Number one, because there's a lot of shade there. Number two, I don't know if we talked about this in the past. Like, I don't know if we talked about any of what we spoke about. But I'll tell you this, that there's always two questions a Yid has to ask himself. Question number one is a question of mutter aser. Is this mutter or is it aser? But then there's a level above mutter aser. What's the level above? Even if it's mutter, should I be doing it? If it's aser, nothing to talk about. But if it's mutter, well, is it aser? Is it aser? It's not aser. Like, you're a schwanz, right? Schwanz just means a tail. People use it for different words also, but it just means a tail. That is what it means. So whatever the kind of... You're a schwanz. That's the point, right? And you say, a person goes ahead. And it's a person who goes ahead, and they're involved. And they say, like, what are you doing? Oh, but it's not us, sir. You know, that's where we get into the fact that, it's a discussion. I'll tell you the truth, I don't know how to deal with this. The Ramban talks about in Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu, that being a novel Birshas Torah. I'm help me if you can, really. I'm sorry if I'm making myself look foolish here, but help me if I'm wrong here. It sounds like the Ramban is saying there's a mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu that no longer can you be a novel Birshas Torah. You understand what I'm saying? You know what? Let's move on. So anyway, the point is that there are things that might be mutter. Just because they're mutter doesn't mean you should do them. Putting yourself in a quasi-perhaps situation of maybe mutter, what the message you're getting across to your spouse. There was a commercial back in the day for something called Head and Shoulders. Head and Shoulders dandruff commercial. And what they did is they had this person, presumably a woman, I just saw the hair, but that was doing something like this in slow motion. You're like, and the hair is going like that. I think it was a woman because if you relate to your own things and nothing would have moved, basically. You know, it's like, what are you, slow motion? You see, like, the forehead. Point is, like this, and the hair like spins and dandruff control. And their line was, because you only get one chance for a first impression. And the concept is so true. The first impression that you have of something or someone sticks with you very deeply. So when you go and you're dating someone and you show them it's okay, we can be in shady situations, in her, what you just wrote on her, in her mind about you is, shady situations are okay. That's okay. Much later on in your life, you're going to have situations that are going to come up and she's going to do something shady and be like, yo, well, that's a little shady. She's going to be like, well, so is Dunkin' Donuts. What's the problem? And you're going to be like, that was before we had Chol HaVisrael. Okay, now we have Chol HaVisrael. We don't do this anymore except for the milk. Right? So understand that the way that you set up the impression with your kids is you're writing their book. Understand, now this is a biggie now. I was once speaking with a parent who said to me, I just don't understand like why my kid doesn't go to shul. Kid, like, it's crazy, never goes to shul. Now, if I give you a moment, you could probably guess that this guy never went to shul. Now, to be fair, he did. He went on Shabbos. He went to the 9 o'clock minyan at 10:30. And he would stand in the back and schmooze until 10:40. And then he was shocked. I don't understand how my kid doesn't go to shul. That, clearly, I knew this person wasn't interested in hearing anything, right? So I was like, oh, tisk, tisk, cluck, cluck. Oh, that's horrible. He's like, I know kids these days. I was like, you idiot. I thought it. I looked at him. I went, but in my mind, I was like, you idiot, right? That's what I was, I said it. I said it in my mind. I said it in my mind. You idiot. I said, what do you think? And this is what I'm going to tell you guys. This is not particular to the idea of children. This is your whole life. Don't be surprised if the decisions and choices that you make in your life actually come to fruition. When you make a decision and it happens, don't be shocked. Of course it happened. You made that decision. I don't understand. What are you talking about? You made that decision. And then when that happens, you wonder, you know, it's like the classic case of a guy who gets a phone call from the principal saying, I don't understand. You know, he says, we caught your kid stealing pencils from the supplies drawer. And the father's like, I don't get it. I told him 100 times. If you need pencils, tell me, I'll bring them from the office. Now, for those who don't get it, and your parents own their own companies, okay, then not you, but the rest of us, yeah? Like, what is that? It's just mimicking. It's just copying. Okay, now let's go a little bit more. Let's understand the psyche of what happens. You know, the Gemara at Sukkot, I think it's the very last daf, the Gemara says a story about a girl who spoke negatively about the Korbanos and about the Rabbanim. And the Gemara says that they ended up, so the Rabbanim fined her, they gave her a kenas, and they fined her parents, the family. And the Gemara asks, okay, you understand, you fined the kid, but why would you fine the parents? And the Gemara answers, anything a kid says, O mida'av, o mida ein. It either came from the father or came from the mother. Especially young kids, right? Kids, they say the cutest things unless they totally embarrass you by saying what you said when the door was closed, yeah? But what happens, or when it was, oh, I don't know, sometimes you open it and say, but you go, they say these things, it's just, it came from the father and mother. Now, I did hear from reputable people nowadays that, unfortunately, that's not always accurate anymore. Now it's o mi da av, o mi da aim, o mi da internet, right? And essentially, now I know here, Baruch Hashem, everyone has NetSpark on their phones that they don't own anymore, and when everything's good, and it's wonderful. But when you get out of yeshiva, and you actually take the sticker off, we keep the sticker on, I'm thinking it looks good, but when you get out, then, and the person, whatever, this is a big danger. So what happens is, you get so much information, so it comes from other people also. Okay, but still the father and mother are very, very important role in where they're getting it from. And the question is, how much of an impact does it have? So let's take a look at one thing in particular. Understand how fragile and how open the mind is for a kid. My daughter, my oldest daughter, did something really wrong a long time ago, probably 10 years ago, did something really wrong to the extent it was so bad, I don't even remember what it was. You know, like when a parent, whenever you know a parent goes, what did you do? Come on, you know what you did. When a parent says that, it means they forgot what you had done, right? So at that point you say, I think you just, oh, you're making a mistake. No, no, that wasn't me. Like what? What do you mean? What do you think? What are we talking about? You're like, you know, I think you mean heavy. Who's heavy? I have to run. So what happens is that we take a look and we see, how does the mind work? So my daughter did something really wrong, so I gave it to her. You know, I like, that's bad and wrong, and it's bad and wrong. You know, and I did the whole bad wrong routine. And when I finished, my wife's like, all right, my turn, tag, go. Right? She goes in and she's about to go for it. I said, you can't, you're not allowed to yell at her. She goes, why not? You had your turn. I said, you're not allowed to yell at her. She said, why? Why can't I yell at her? I said, simple. Because if I yell at her and you yell at her, who yelled at her? What do you say? What? Keep going.
Parents, everyone in important in their life.
Keep going.
People she loves.
No.
She'll yell at everyone else.
If I yelled at her and my wife yells at her, who yelled at her? What? The internet yelled at her. This page is blocked. If I yelled at her and my wife yelled at her, who yelled at her?
Everyone.
Who said it? What does everyone mean? I gotta get personal. The entire, so I want you to extend it to, the entire world yelled at her. Now, we make a joke, but do everyone understand what I just said? Because what's the world to a little kid? All they know is their parents. That's all they know. What? Okay, I don't know what you grew up with. But I don't want to. All they know is that, in which case, what that means is it comes down to if I yelled and she yells, the entire world. How does it make a kid feel? How does it feel to be completely and totally alone, that there is no one in the world that cares or loves for you? Nobody. Very lonely. To an extent where then that makes them vulnerable to falling to every trap in the world. My friends, that's scary. Think about the power that you have. Okay, let's go a little bit further. What else do we got? The idea of perhaps lying. Lying. Let's start easy. If you lie to your child and your wife lies to your child, who lied to your child? The entire world just lied to the child. And then we wonder why they have trust issues. Where does it come from? Now, And I'm saying this now for you guys also. It could be you yourselves have certain things, certain trust issues. You're wondering, where does that come from? Could be a lot of factors. It could be simply because that's what happened when you were young and that's how you understood things. Now you can't trust anyone because the entire world has lied to you. What does it mean, a lie? What's a lie? What's a lie? Saying something other than the truth is a lie, right? So simply put, My son one day was outside. He's looking up at the moon, and he's at a fly thing, which I never noticed. Has that always been there? Has it been there for a long time?
Yeah,
never saw it. It's like the Eish Tamid. Anyway, so there was my son was looking up at the moon, and I'm like, "What are you looking at?" He's like, "The white thing." I said, "Oh, you want it?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Just jump." He said, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Jump, jump, and it can be yours." He says, "Okay." He starts jumping. So I went in the house, and about 15 minutes later, I come out. I'm like, "What are you doing?" I totally forgot. He's like, "The white thing." I was like, "What about it?" He goes, "I'm jumping to get it." I said, "You're what?" I was like, "Oh, gosh." I said, "Listen, you can't get it by jumping." He said, "Why did you lie to me?" He said, "Lie to you? I didn't lie to you. I was just joking." He goes, "What's a joke?" I said, "A joke? A joke is a lie that's okay." How do you explain that? How do you explain what a joke is? Right, my son came home the next day. I'm like, "How was school?" He goes, "Good." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Somebody died." I said, "What?" He goes, "I'm just joking." I said, "You can't joke about that." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because it's not in the rules of joking about lying and joking." Like, how do you explain it? A lie is a lie. Kids see life exactly how it is. It's black or white. It's very straight. It's very clear. Elokim osas ha'adam yashar. Ve'im bitshu cheshbonot rabim, says a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. The Lord created man yashar. Very straight as an arrow. Clear. We went out for all complicated things. The reality is, they see it like it is. And you go out and you do that, what ends up happening, that they themselves start to see, "Oh, okay, that's what we do. Okay, cool. So I can do that also." What is it with the kids always lying nowadays? Where do you think they learned it from? Does that mean you can never joke? Yes. Okay, now. No, of course you could joke, but don't lie. You can have fun, you can have a good time, but not lying. This is something you have to be very, very careful. What does it mean to lie? So my kids, well, that's my son this time, they wanted a certain cereal called Kariot. You guys know what that is?
Yeah.
Kariot, what is it?
Chocolate pillows.
Good, right, so the word Kariot means pillows, the plural. A Karit is a pillow, Kariot are pillows. So it's a delicious, very healthy, relative to oil and tar. But it is, if you put those together, you get also a mixture of something. But here, you get chocolate, inside there's nugget, or chocolate, and chocolate, vanilla. And my son said, my kid, whatever, I don't know who said it, he said, "Can you get us Kariot?" And for some reason, I said, "Yes." Because I want it also. But they said, "Yeah, okay. Okay, kids. Just this one." So they're like, "Why is it almost empty?" I'm like, "The store. You know, it's like the bags of chips, nothing in there. You know, I don't know." So they go and they said that he wants Kariot. So I said, "Okay, will you buy it?" "Yeah, I'll get it tonight." Big mistake. "Yeah, I'll get it tonight." What does it mean, "Yeah, I'll get it tonight"? It means I've got to get it tonight. So I come home at 10:30 at night. I'm about to go to bed. I'm like, "Mariv." And Kariot. You know that feeling, right? You're like, "Mariv." You know? It's almost as bad as Shachas. So, but it's 2 o'clock. It's too late already. Anyway, so I'm like, "Oh, Kariot." I went to like Mayan, you know, whatever. Closed. I went to another one. Closed. And I'm going all around. I'm like, "You know, maybe let's just make him French fries and pour chocolate on it." You know what I'm saying? Like, "Well, he know the difference anyway. He's young. He's like 17. So, anyway, so I had to find the store. Kariot. Next morning he wakes up and there's Kariot. He's like, "Okay." Like, doesn't flinch. But understand, like, well, what does that mean? Like, you have to do what you're going to say. That's why I learned my lesson at that moment. And since then, I never say I'm going to do something. I try not to say. They say, "Can you get this to me?" I say, "I will think about it now for a moment, perhaps. And we'll see what comes from that." Yeah, but I can't tell you that, like, "I'll get it." "Oh, we'll see. Maybe yes, maybe no." definitely not a time frame. Now, you said you're going to get it. No, I didn't. I never said I'm going to get it. I never told you when. You said it. You say you're going to get it in 5 minutes. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Yeah, right. Doesn't mean I'll be there in 5 minutes. That's like saying bli neder, right? Which we've learned in the past. Bli neder means I'm lying, right? So it's the same thing as saying, you know, bli never, right? So that's what happens with these ideas. We go ahead and we lie. That comes into inside of this mentality. Okay, let's take it a step further. A step further is understand where the kid is coming from. Recognize and realize where is the kid coming from. When a kid goes ahead and they behave a certain way, why do they behave that way? So often we go ahead and we think one thing, we realize it's a totally different thing. The kids are much more innocent than adults are. So I'll tell you that I once read a story about a kid that this kid saw a man sitting in a wheelchair. What happened was, is there was a mother and a child online at the grocery store, and the mother saw the kid staring off the direction, so she caught his attention. He's staring at this man in a wheelchair. And you know like how parents get when kids like stare at those things, yeah? They're like, they don't want to make a scene, so they do like, stop it. Stop looking. Stop looking now. Don't stare at the handicapped person. Yeah, and the kid is just like, stare. Which one? That one? That handicapped person? Don't look. I don't think they're retarded, mother. What do you mean? Down syndrome? They're like, they say it straight out. So this kid's like staring. And the mother's like, stop looking now. Stop it. Person next to him, like, are you okay? Like, who are you talking to, right? And then the kid starts walking towards the person. The true story, real story. Kid starts walking, so the mother's like, get back here! You're gonna get punished! Right? And he just looks like a weirdo. The kid walks right over to this person in the wheelchair, the handicapped person who couldn't walk with no legs in the wheelchair, looks at the guy and goes, hey, mister, you don't have any legs. That didn't happen. Anyway. That's what you're expecting, right? So that the kid looks at the guy and goes, hey, mister, where'd you get those sunglasses? They're really cool. And the mother's like, don't be so judged. Take a step back, chill. Just because you look at retarded people with no legs doesn't mean that they're looking at them. You understand? Like, what do you got to be? Relax, yeah? Understand where they're coming from. They're pure. They're pure. Just because, again, you messed yourself up doesn't mean they're messed up yet. Understand you still have the power to do it. But they're very pure. But get into the place to understand them. What does that mean? How many times have you perhaps heard or maybe said yourself or seen as a kid playing with toys? And the kids, have you ever seen little kids playing with toys before? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah? It's a little bit freaky that you watch that. Everyone could write their name down because we got a list here. Right? Okay, so you see little kids playing with toys. They get excited about it and they take it very seriously. They take it very, very seriously. One time I'm walking down the stairs and my kid had a doll there and I tripped over the doll. I knocked the doll down. And my kid, the look of horror, she looks up and goes, you killed my baby. I was like, first of all, young lady, we have to talk about this. I did not know that you're in a relationship. So they're like, what? I'm like, never mind. I said, what do you mean? Like, you killed my baby. I said, killed your baby. It's here, hold on, here. Okay, all better now. Your baby's now, I've resuscitated and done trias amesim. So like, what are you talking about? You knocked over and killed my baby. And I say to them, it's just a game. Like, chill out. Have you ever seen a parent do that? Have you ever seen a parent say, just relax, it's just a toy, it's just toys? You never saw it before?
Yeah.
Relax, it's toys. Really, just toys. Relax, just toys. Then you're driving your Lexus, and someone smashes into it. Can't believe how could you... The kid goes, that's relax, it's just a toy. Just a toy? Just say, the bigger the boys, the bigger the toys. That's all that happens. It's just, you grow older, you get more expensive stuff, but that's all it is. What is a game to a kid It's reality to them. Just like your little game to you called life is reality to you. How deep does it go? Now, people are not going to like that. I mean, they say perhaps if they hear this, those who have kids. And I'm not saying I'm not guilty of doing this sometimes. The question is when and how. Have you ever heard somebody ever tell a kid to share their toys? Yes or no? Are you comfortable sharing your toys? You go to the kid, just share. Give them their turn. Let them have a turn. Rip the car and house keys out of your parents' house and say, it's now their turn. No, I don't want to hear it. You're going to learn how to share. You're going to get a timeout. Yeah? What is that? Take away. Share? Why would you do that? Why would you share? Just like you don't want to share, why would they want to share? If you want them to share, what do you have to do? You have to be willing to share also. And there's some people like that. There's some people that are willing to give everything. I know people like this that just lend, take my car, want to borrow it, sure, go for it. You go, whatever you want, sleep in my house, no problem, it's okay. There are people that are very giving like that, and their kids start being like that. I'm not saying that you should do that, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell your kids to share, but I am saying be aware of what you're telling them to do, and don't tell them to do more than you yourself are able to do. Now we're going to get into, I think, just because of timing, we're going to get into one of the most important parts of this discussion. I just have to remember what it is. Whew. One of the worst things you could say to your kid. Now, the truth is my mother doesn't like when I say it like this, so I'm exaggerating. But okay, what is perhaps one of the worst things you could say to your kid?
I hate you.
I was going to say, I'm going to kill you now. Okay, God forbid. It's not the worst, it's worse. What's one of the worst things you could say to your kids? What is that? But I'm going to kill you.
You're disappointing.
Hold on one second. Let's think of another girl. My wife and I were once standing in a mall in New Jersey, Woodbury Commons. Does that make sense? It's an outdoor thingamajig. So it was before we had kids. We're standing there, and we saw something run by us. We don't know what it was, but we saw something run by us. And the clothing like parted like that, like as it went through, like a raccoon or whatever. But it looked like a little person raccoon, like in other words, like a kid. But we didn't notice it till we saw 5 minutes later, mother looking around going, where is he? I'm going to find him and I'm going to kill him. And I remember when we both heard that, we looked at each other in horror. We're like, kill your kid? Like, who would ever say that? And then we had kids. but understand, it's not easy. It's not simple. It's challenging. But what's one of the worst things you can say to your kid? Watch this. A kid comes home from school, and they did a little project, and they show you the project, and you say to them, "Show mommy." Yeah. You say to them, "What a beautiful picture." You just killed your relationship with your kid. Explain. The next day they come home with a project or a picture, and they show it to you, and you go, wow, what a beautiful picture. The next day they come home and they show you it, and you go, wow, what a beautiful picture. Getting the hint? The next time they come home and they show it to you, and you go, wow, they go, let me guess, what a beautiful picture. Yeah. There was a skit on Motzei Shabbos Live a bunch of years ago that they said like something like, hey kids, you want to know what your parents are really thinking about you? Get the truth-o-meter. It's like a little thing that you put in your ear, like to know what they're really saying. So you see this guy sitting watching a football game, and this kid walks in and goes in front of the screen. He goes, hey, Dad, look at this picture. He goes, wow, son, what a beautiful picture. And then the next day, same thing. So the kid, as he says, you want to know, kids, put it in. So he says, hey, Dad, wow, son, what a beautiful, get out of the way. I'm trying to watch the game picture, kid. And see what they're really thinking. What does it show a kid when the parent says over and over the same thing? What does it show them? Say it. You don't really care about what I'm showing you. You're on autopilot. You're not even paying attention to me whatsoever. What would be a more effective thing to say? You say, wow, you're welcome to say what a beautiful picture, but you must be specific. I like the particular colors that you chose. I like the fact that you wrote your name. You wrote it backwards, but it's a start. Now, as funny as that sounds, they'll see, oh, you're actually paying attention to me. And guys, think about it in your own life. When you guys were younger, when you were very young, you used to want to do everything for your parents. And then you got older and realized they don't care about you anymore. So you stopped doing for them. Now, that's subconscious. But think about it. Very powerful. Very powerful idea. And all that subconscious plays out in a very big way. What big way does it play out? I'm not saying this comes all the time, but I'll tell you what happened. This guy came into Ish one day, and he tells us, I don't know how I ended up with the guy, but he says to me, you know, he wants to talk about Hashem. I think he was Russian. He says, I want to talk about Hashem. About Chad. God. I said, okay. He's like, yeah, prove to me that there's a God. I said, well, how do you feel about God? He goes, he must be brought down. I said, dude, you are definitely Russian. You know what I'm saying? Okay. He must be brought down. So I said, okay. I'm thinking, how am I going to deal with this guy? I could try head on, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I decided, I don't know why at that particular moment, but I decided to try something. I said, tell me something. Mind if I ask you a personal question? He said, yes. So I'm going to ask you anyway. Are your parents married? He said, I don't want to talk about it. I said, ah, beautiful marriage. Okay, good. So there's a nice, loving family in the picture. Tell me, how's your relationship with your father? He must be brought down. Anybody see what just happened? When you're little, you look at your parents like they're God. You don't realize it, but you do. You look at your parents, they can do anything. And if they can't do it, it's not that they can't do it. It can't be done. You get what I'm saying? Then you get a little older, and then you start hearing references. Avinu, Malkeinu, Father, King, Hashem, God, Father, Parent. Hashem, have mercy on your children. Like a father, has mercy on his son. And you say, oh, yeah, oh. Without realizing, you start to make connections. Then you get a little older, and you realize, my parents aren't God. I'm God. And you really start to think that way. You egotistical. Right? You start to think like you're God. Then you get married and realize your wife is God. Then you have kids and realize they're God. And then the cycle continues again. Right? But the problem this guy had, he had no problem with God. He had a problem with his father. If I would have spent 4 hours trying to explain God, then would have gotten nowhere. And since he looked at his father in the same mixture as God, therefore he had an issue with that, and that's just continuing on with that. That's a very deep insight to take a look and think about. When you've got a problem, where is the source of it? Where is it coming from? So we take a look and we understand, my friends. Actions speak a lot more than words. The way in which you're actually going to live your life is the way that it's going to actually come out. It's not the way that you want. It's the way that you actually live. Understand the power of what happens when you go ahead and you live a certain way, what's going to occur. So I want to end with this one last point, perhaps recap, then 3 points. Never said that, did I? There's a story about, if you know this one, it's a famous one, don't be that guy. There's a story about a father comes home from work one day, and the kid's so excited and says, hey, dad. He goes, hey, son, come sit on your papa's lap. All, you know, we'll have some fun, son, right? Play together. He's like, dad, I just want to know, how much money do you make an hour? And he's like, what? Dad, come on, no, really, how much money do you make an hour? He's like, what kind of question? What are you asking me this? Dad, come on, how much? And he gets angry, he goes, $25 an hour. Go to your room. And the kid's like, ah, he runs off to his room. And, you know, after like a couple of minutes, the father goes to the mother and says, like, what's going on here? What has gotten into Junior? You know? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever, this person from Atlanta. I don't know. I don't know what happened. So he decides he's going to go speak to him. So he goes to the room. Door's closed. Comes over and goes, son, can I come in? No, go away. It's my house. I'm coming in. Look at your parents play the game. I was like, oh, can I come? Whatever. So he walks in. And he says, what got into you? Like, what happened? And he looks down at the kid, and the kid's sitting on the bed, and he has next to his bed his piggy bank. Okay, trafe. It was a horse. No, trafe. A cow bank. It was a sheep. A sheep bank. It was tied to the bedpost. Anyway, so it's a good one. Anyway, so he goes at it. It's going to the repertoire. Anyway, so he goes ahead. You could always know I didn't say something, because then I laugh. Anyway, so he goes ahead, and he sees the kid sitting on the bed, and the kid has his money bank thing open, and he's holding money in his hand. And he says, Dad, here's $12.50. Can I have a half an hour of your time? He goes, that's about right. That's about right. Yeah, half hour works. One of the most important things you have to understand if you want to really have a relationship with your child is that you have to have a relationship with your child. That means you have to give them the time of day. They have to feel like they're actually connecting with you. That doesn't have to be in what we call quantity, but that's at least being quality. There has to be time spent in a way that they feel like they're getting the time of day. And if you don't feel that way, then, my friends, that's when the problems start. There are two things I heard from a friend of mine in New York, the Yitzchak Feldheim, two messages a kid needs to get and get very well. Number one is known, they have to get the message that they are loved. Number two is they have to get the message that they are respected. Now, the difference between the two is as follows. Love is unconditional. Unconditional means I love you no matter what. I love you. I love you no matter what. It doesn't make a difference what happens. When a person has, when a kid has a sense of that they feel loved, that's a safety net. They feel safe. And when you feel safe, then you don't feel like you need to run to somewhere else to feel that. But it's not enough, because the kid won't necessarily feel good about themselves at all just because they're loved, because it's unconditional. So great, you love me. I didn't do anything for that. The second thing is what? That they have to have respect. But respect has to be earned. And when they earn that respect and then you give that to them, then they start to feel a total sense of everything is now with them. Everything is totally good. They have to feel that love and that respect has to be built in this concept. All right, people, let's put this all together, and we'll open up any questions there are. There probably won't be any, but moving along. Here we go. So we start to begin. What happened to Gemara? The Mishnah comes and says, "What happens?" Says 425. Lishim Ruya Alamin Love. That was the man who dumbest. Talking about the Neocharis. It's called the Yon Neocharis. It's totally fresh and blank because there's nothing in the brain. Nothing in the brain. Nothing in the brain. And therefore, since there's nothing there, what happens? You go write it down. It's going to be remembered. But an old person's like a sponge piece of paper. It's very hard to remember. That's what happened, my friend. When you go to try to teach someone the Lishim and Avuya, he is the one who writes that. Isn't that ironic? He's the one who actually fell to the same problem that he's talking about. In fact, when he was a kid, he had his foundations a bit of a problem over there. He said, "Can I be in Dunkin' Donuts?" Well, so the shady, but you know, shady is okay. 10 years out of life, but you didn't, Duncan. Don't understand, my friends. You are writing a book. Understand that whatever happened, it happened. But you are the author right now, writing the way that they're going to think and see the entire world. Scary about the way that you see the world as well. I understand the fact is ultimately it's coming from the fact of whatever. I just don't understand. My kid doesn't go to shul. Why does he keep stealing pencils? Because you steal pencils and don't go to shul, right? And when you do the same thing, what ends up happening? They're going to get from the same thing. You meet your parents, and then you get to meet them and go, oh, right? Go Gator, Bulldogs. Candy, right? Start to realize that when a person goes and you grow up in a certain thing, that's going to happen. I spoke about houses like that. They just is not what you're going to say, but the way you're actually going to live your life. And realize the fact, my friends, the same thing in terms of your spouses, which we didn't even get into, it's a whole other discussion, but a little bit, we touched upon the fact about how you're going to go and affect them in a certain way, that whatever, because only one chance to get a first impression. And that first thing you're going to be doing is going to be written down and embedded, and they're going to be remembered. Those are the things that I remember the most, and they're put down in the concept of whatever, and remember things, because then all of a sudden everything comes into our head and starts to smudge things all over the place. Just share. Give your house away. Right? So they say, what do you mean? What about a kid over there? And they say, they're going, hey, man, what happened to your nice sunglasses? Maybe they're looking at things a little bit differently, and we should understand that. But looking at something, what a beautiful beautiful picture. Get out of my picture, kid. Right? Understand the fact that you got to give them the feeling that actually you really care. And by doing that, it has to be done through time. Here I am that I'm talking about this topic, and I'll tell you what happened. a couple years ago, I was teaching, and I was teaching in Aish. I finished at 6 o'clock, and then I was going to teach at another. There's a girls' seminary in the old city called Eishel. It is Eishel, I think. It's a Sephardi girls' seminary. Started at 6:30 there, so I left at Aish, and I was going there. And my daughter, I called up my house to say what's going on, and my daughter answers, says, "Hey, you coming home?" I said, "Not yet. I just have to first go to teach, and then I'm going to come back." And she goes, "Oh." And when she said, like, "Oh," I was like, "Why didn't you just stab me? Like, you know, like, that didn't hurt at all, the oh." I'm like, "What does that mean?" She's like, "Oh, okay, whatever. Just, okay, whatever." I'm like, "Whatever, you're 6. You can't say whatever till you're 14. You know what I mean? Whatever." She goes, "Oh, whatever, oh." I was like, "Okay." And we hung up. I went to the place where I was teaching. I knock on the door. The person there opens the door and says, "Okay, you ready?" I said, "I'm really sorry. I have to cancel the class. I have to go home." They said, "Is there a problem?" I said, "Yeah, it's a big problem. Thank God no one's dead that I know of, but I'm saying, but there's a problem I have to deal with." And I went back, and to see the look on my daughter's face when I came back, I think I made the right decision. Understanding that I'm talking about the idea of give time to your kids, give time to your kids, give that. But am I actually doing it myself? And it turns out I wasn't. I was like, ouch. Until you have to take this in a serious way. But at the end of the day, my friends, and let me get this very clear right now. We understand the fact, and there's so much more to talk about. We understand the fact that we have, you know, kids that are not so connected with Yiddishkeit, unfortunately. Perhaps some of you in this room that are putting on a nice show. Perhaps some of your friends, acquaintances, and you wonder, how did that happen? And there's a number of reasons why that could happen. I do want to make very clear that you could be a perfect parent and still something go wrong. Avram Avinu had a kid named Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu had a kid named Esav, which means you could be great. But that doesn't mean, and there are some parents that try to mess up their kids and don't succeed. And then there's somewhere in the middle. We're like, it's dependent on what you do. But we'll end off from the Brisker Rav, who gave 3 pieces of advice, and those are the 3 points I'll end with. You obviously have to do your shtadlis and put in your work and make sure you give time to them and that you care and that you spend and that you don't lie to them, that you're honest with them and stop jumping towards the moon and that you go ahead and you're actually there and present and all that stuff and teaching and living the way that you want them to live. And like I said before, the way you're living right now, you are raising your children. You have to make a decision if you want your kids to look like you. But the Brisker Rav said 3 things. You know what they are? No one knows? After giving a whole discussion, what is it? A whole discussion about how to raise children, he ends off with 3 words. Tefillah. Tefillah. And lots of cash. Tefillah, sorry. Tefillah. You got to daven like crazy. And when do you have to start? Now. You should already be davening for your children. And you should already start aligning your life in the way that you want your children to turn out. So when you're sitting down to learn and you're feeling weak and you want to go schmooze, just know that don't be surprised if that's your kid. And if that's what you want from your kid, then go ahead, schmooze. But if you want your kid to be a masmid, be a masmid. Sit back down. Start learning something. You feel like you want to do something which is not okay, a little bit inappropriate or wrong, just try to picture you are now training your kid. It's when you're doing that wrong thing, it's essentially going, "Come here, son, let me teach you about life. Let me show you something." You thought no one was watching when you closed the door? Your children are watching because you're training them. So my friends, we've got to get ourselves in shape. Got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. And we've got to daven like crazy. Any questions, comments, stories, jokes, attacks, please see them verbal and physical?
Yeah, for whatever reason the world was created, why after 6,000 years does that room not apply anymore?
Any questions? Was that a real question?
Sure.
Well, then that was my real answer. All right, peeps, have a good night. Peace.